It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking for the hour today about the costs of severe weather as State Farm hikes its homeowners insurance rates in Illinois by an average of more than 27%. And State Farm's not alone in that, as climate change brings with it more severe weather more often and a higher cost to repair and pick up the pieces when disaster strikes. Here to talk about what we're experiencing and what that means for the viability of insurance in the future is Walker Ashley. He's a professor and meteorologist in the Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment at Northern Illinois University. Professor Ashley, or Walker, if I may, welcome to the 21st show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Listeners, again, you can join us at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. All right. Talk about the trends we're seeing in severe weather in Illinois and the Midwest. Maybe we can start with the frequency of severe weather events.
Well, we've certainly seen an active last few years. There's no doubt about that. But there's a lot of variability in the annual cycle of severe storms. Unfortunately, our records going back to 1950 are biased with human observation. And the number of reports have certainly increased through time, but a lot of that is just simply due to better reporting. So we don't have a great track record of trying to tease out whether, for instance, climate change is causing changes in the severe storm activity across the Midwest. But we in many cases, actually probably know a little bit more about the future than what we do about the past, which is somewhat odd. But there's no doubt about it. We've all been affected by the severe storm activity in this region, and we live in an active area, and I expect that to continue.
I want to put a pin in that idea of understanding the future better than the past, because I do find that odd and intriguing. But I wonder if, so severe weather is one thing, and I don't know if there's like a, if this is a meteorological distinction or just a rhetorical one, but you know, the idea of extreme weather events, right? That derecho that knocked out power in Springfield and swept across the state, had left a pretty wide swath of destruction in Illinois a few years ago. I wonder, is there something with insurance claims that we can measure perhaps and say, yes, we are seeing more consequences of severe weather anyway.
Yeah, there is certainly an increasing rise in the number of claims and obviously expenses and costs affiliated with severe storms. A great report a couple of years ago put out by Aon suggested that 80% of this increase is actually just simply due to exposure. So changes in us, where we live, what we own, and the fact that we call this the expanding bullseye effect, that there's just more of us and we're spread out across the landscape. So that severe storms that may have occurred in, say, the 1950s or 60s that didn't affect anybody now are affecting wide swaths of say, suburbia. And so this is presenting a considerable problem, right? There's just more things for us to be impacted by these severe weather events. And, you add on the possibility of an increasing risk with climate change that, of course, exacerbates the problem.
And you mentioned this a moment ago, that you can't attribute any single weather event or perhaps even a seeming trend of weather events to climate change. Does that ever change? Is there ever a point at which we say, you know what? Okay, I've seen enough. Like that guy who predicts elections, I've seen enough.
Well, I hope economists are notorious for predictions and they're not that good at it. But anyway, we do know certain things. There is certainty that climate change is occurring. We know that changes the fundamental ingredients necessary for severe storms. For instance, we increase the temperatures of the ocean, we increase the temperature of the atmosphere, that produces more energy for thunderstorms. We liken this to fundamental
ingredients. I asked you the question, but now we need to take a break because we're on a fixed clock. I'm sorry about that. We will continue in a moment. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about insurance and weather. This is, of course, based on the news that State Farm is hiking homeowners insurance rates in Illinois by more than 27% on average. And we are also seeing insurance companies in other parts of the countries pulling out altogether of certain states because of risk from wildfires or hurricanes or other types of severe weather. We're talking about that and what it means for the viability of insurance in the future with Walker Ashley, professor, meteorologist in the Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment at Northern Illinois University. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. How is severe weather affecting you and your home? Have you had to go shopping for homeowners insurance recently? And if so, what are your takeaways from that experience? 800-222-9455. Walker, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you before the break. You know, I've been doing this job for 5 years, and I still can't always predict reliably what questions will yield a short answer and which will yield a long answer. So we were talking about, you know, the idea that you can't attribute any single weather event necessarily to climate change, but I think you were making the point that we're certainly seeing changes that are persistent that certainly create the conditions for more severe weather. Yeah. Walker, are you still with us? Might be a Zoom issue here. It's Friday, all right. Walker, I think you might be muted. All right. Let me just say, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. Let me ask you, so before the break, we were talking about, you know, you can't attribute any specific weather event to climate change necessarily, but you were making the point that we're certainly seeing conditions that could, you know, that contribute to more severe weather. Maybe you can pick it up.
Yeah, whenever we look at an extreme event, we talk about the fundamental ingredients. It's much like baking a chocolate chip cookie, right? We all love chocolate chip cookies, and we need flour, we need butter, we need chocolate chips. For severe storms, we need moisture. We need something called instability, or think of it as energy for these storms. And we need something called wind shear, which is a change in wind direction and speed with height in the atmosphere. The two ingredients that we know that we are modifying, we have a good track record of that, are moisture. We're increasing the amount of moisture in the atmosphere and the amount of energy available for these thunderstorms, or what we call instability. So two of the fundamental ingredients are increasing across the board. But just because we're increasing the amount of ingredients doesn't necessarily mean we're getting more severe storms. But in the Midwest, we are seeing more extreme precipitation events, and with that comes, unfortunately, more extreme severe perils such as tornadoes and hail. And unfortunately, that's projected to increase, in many cases, significantly across the Midwest as we move into the future.
Is this why you say that we can predict the future better than the past?
Yeah, because the past is based on our observations. And our observations, as I mentioned earlier, are based on, you know, eyeballs or damage. And that has all sorts of human kind of complexity to it, right? There's just better reporting. We all have cell phones now. There's more things to be affected. And so the track record there, although we've seen increasing number of reports, teasing out the climate signal on that is very, very difficult. And so when we project into the future, we use numerical modeling. And in many cases, we can kind of level out the playing field there and try to figure out exactly the climate change signal within there. And, you know, the results from our study here at NIU and across other institutions is finding generally a large increase across the eastern part of the United States, particularly east of the Mississippi River. Somewhat uniquely, we actually expect to see a slight decline in severe storms across the kind of the notorious Great Plains of the United States, which we colloquially know as Tornado Alley.
Let me share a text message from Aaron in Springfield, who says, even though the Midwest is filled with thoughtful, trustworthy, and kind people, nearly all of them will not take action to adapt to climate change for themselves when floods rise, droughts dry out the fields, and the air gets harder to breathe from Canadian wildfires. He goes on, we can expect more power outages and blackouts from heat and storms. We can count on the Mississippi River facing record drought for some years and then flood for multiple years. Aaron, thanks for your text. Dire though it is, Walker, I wonder what you make of those predictions in terms of heat, storms, drought, flooding, and so on.
Yeah, The last point that the person made there was actually pretty good. Everybody thinks of climate change as, this upward trend. To me, the biggest fingerprint of climate change on our perils is really variability. We're going to expect more, say, dry years and then more wet years. Or during the year, we can expect very, very dry periods, what we call a flash drought, followed by flash flood. In fact, we've kind of seen that across northern Illinois in the last few weeks. So, a hallmark of climate change is the variability. But as you pointed out too earlier, attributing a specific event to climate change is not the way to look at it. What we're trying to figure out is what is the contribution of climate change to an individual event. And our science right now is just really early on that. We're trying to figure that out. We're trying to get methods down. But the process to generate the data necessary to answer those questions is quite significant. But you better believe we're trying to work on that.
Let's go back to the phones at 800-222-9455, where Paul is calling from Urbana. Hello, Paul. Thanks for calling in.
Hello. Thank you. I think the future is here. What attribution science is pretty developed, and I'm persuaded. And I think some of the reinsurers, I wanted to bring up this in the financial section. I think part of the cost that maybe isn't being spoken about is Swiss Re and Lloyd's of London are increasing their costs for the reinsurance of the liability for insurance companies here. It's a global thing. And the Europeans are much more cognizant, and they're much more calculating the increased liability and damages through this inferno we're going to and are now experiencing. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
All right, Paul. Thanks for the call. Walker, I don't know if you can speak to that.
Yeah, that is an excellent point. And there is an insurance to the insurers, right? The reinsurance market is quite significant. And of course, it's significant in Chicago. These are very, very smart companies. And they're invested. I can promise you, I work with them. I met with them yesterday. They're working towards trying to figure out and price this risk accurately in a very volatile, changing environment. But he also made a great point of saying that when we talk about climate change, we are in the experiment. We are living it right now. And we don't know exactly what the conclusions are going to be, but it doesn't look great.
What does all this mean for, our built environment, right? Our homes, public infrastructure. Are we ready for that here in Illinois?
Frankly, no. And that's not just in Illinois, but it's really around the United States. In this country, generally, we build relatively cheaply and not for sustainability purposes. It's mainly profit driven. And, that could be a good thing. But unfortunately, that leads people to with houses that aren't necessarily built for the long term. I mean, asphalt shingle roofs, we think, are built for 25 years. There's research that suggests that they're liable for damage usually about 8 to 10 years into their life cycle. So the one thing that I really wish we could do a lot better is build better, but of course that's going to be more expensive. But build better, better land use planning, certainly when we talk about flooding, there's a lot of things that we can do, but they have very, very long time horizons. And unfortunately, and generally across this country, we don't tend to think long term, 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And that's understandable. Most of us are concerned about paying our bills on a month-to-month basis. But I think if we think a caller earlier said something about thinking long term, I really do think that's something our policymakers really need to worry about more so than the election cycle.
Yeah. I just a little personal anecdote. We had to put a new roof on our house about 6 years ago, and we went to a company that has a reputation of one of the best, most reputable builders in town. And the idea of something other than just the sort of standard shingle roof was never even broached for us. So I don't know what that says about, you have to really sort of be engaged in this and actively seek it out yourself. Another caller, if we can, Gordon is calling from Rockford. Gordon, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I sort of agree with what the other caller said, that the time scales of weather are based on really quite infinite expressions. I mean, the orbit of the Earth around the Sun, the perihelion, these all affect climate. And paleoclimatologically speaking, we've gone through very severe periods of much greater heat and much greater cold. But everyone's perception is so localized, so limited to a small time frame that even people who lived a long time, they'll say, well, when I was young, you know, we walked to school in 5-foot drifts both directions, you know.
Right.
And the point is that people fail to understand that everything influences climate and their behavior as well. And so until currently, of course, with the current administration, there's no concern or even understanding that long range planning may provide, you know, fundamental solutions to the problems we're facing, because the only thing that concerns them is the present time and how much, you know, wealth or profit they can create. And, you know, developers, people like that, they've been putting homes on floodplains and all of this all the time. And people just have to realize that we have to have a far more coherent national consensus before we're going to get coherent national leadership.
Gordon, thank you for that call. I appreciate it. Walker, I guess this gets to the idea that, you know, climate change is a hyper object, right? It's one of those things that it's difficult for people to really wrap their minds around. It's easier to just not think about it.
It is an extremely difficult thing for all of us to understand. It's such a long time horizon. But we are, like I said, we're in the experiment right now. We're feeling it. We're kind of like the frog, slowly the water is being turned up, right? And the younger generation has a better understanding of this. I think they get a sense that things are changing, and but they're concerned. You know, they hear from policymakers that, you know, there are other concerns out there they don't need to worry about 10, 20, 30 years down the road. But yeah, man, this is a tough one to crack.
Well, final thoughts. I mean, do you think, you know, what does need to change, right? The governor is calling for the legislature to take a more firm hand in regulating the insurance industry here. What will it take to get a systematic approach to this?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not a policymaker, but I think that, you know, let's get in the room together and speak about these issues. The politicians and the insurers need to get together and go through these issues and think long term. Stop on these annual cycles, because we've seen 10% increase, 9 to 10% increases in annual losses for severe storms. That's not very sustainable. So we need to think about how do we reduce that 9 to 10% rate moving forward. And it's going to be things like investing, better housing, better building, better roofing, and so on and so forth. But those require investment, and they require a lot of money. But rather than kind of shooting across the bow, maybe we can get in the same room and have a conversation.
Walker Ashley is a professor, meteorologist at Northern Illinois University. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
That is all the time we have for our show today. I want to thank everybody who called in, who sent text messages, and otherwise participated in our conversation today. That is really what I think is one of the things that makes our program special. So please keep your messages coming. You can connect with us through our website, 21stshow.org. We've got the way to join our texting group is there, our email address, our voicemail line. Again, it's all on 21stshow.org. We've also got our past segments there. If you heard something interesting, you think somebody else might appreciate it or get something out of it, please send them the link or send them a link to our podcasts. You can find us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen. And we're now on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Illinois Public Media. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Layla Nazarova is an associate producer, and our digital producer is Coulson Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.